Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, everybody, into Adam, the Adam Carriker Show. I about said Adam Carriker on the ticket, but now it's the Adam Carriker Show, the dawn of a new era. And yes, our family was under siege from basically the frickin' plague this week. And I lost 5 pounds, and I was telling Jake, I'll spare you the details, and you're welcome for that. But I lost 5 pounds, and I was trying to get down to 270. I was 303 when I first measured myself on June 1st. Got down to 280, and I was pretty happy losing 23 pounds. Got a bonus 5 this weekend, not the atypical way to do it, but I'll take it. I'm down to 275, and I got 5 more to go. So I was telling Jake, hey, there's always a silver lining. All right, you have a rough weekend. We're 8 for 8 with people in our house getting sick. But 5 of us are back to fairly normal. 3 of my kids are still, you know, hoarding around my house and are pretending to be sick. No, they actually don't look very good at all. But I wish them a speedy recovery. And we're getting back to full strength at the Carriker house, but we've got Nebraska football to talk about, Matt Rhule's press conference to react to, and the top games from college football across the nation to talk about, including the game of the year so far, Alabama versus Georgia. It was 28-0, 37 at half. Alabama was beating Georgia. And at one point in the fourth quarter, for a whole 13 seconds, Georgia actually came back and led 34-33. That was the game of the year, but we're going to get to that, along with reacting to Matt Rhule's press conference at the end of the show. Of course, we're going to start with the only team that really matters in America, and that's the Nebraska Cornhuskers football team. Talking about Purdue, talking about what is the ceiling of this team? What is the floor of this team? I have no idea what in the blue hell to make of this team. You saw in the last 18 minutes of the game, well, hold on, 20 minutes of the game, about 5 minutes to go left in the third quarter in the last 15 minutes against Purdue. You saw what this team is capable of. We played really bad football for the first 40 minutes of the game, and we ended up winning by 18 points. Now, part of that is bad Purdue. Part of that is also what Nebraska is capable of. You also saw what Nebraska is capable of in the not great direction the first 40 minutes. And if we're not playing Purdue, do we get away with that? Now, it's our first road game. It's our first morning game. It's only our second non-night game. So you had all these factors coming into play, AKA excuses, but they are things that play a role when you're talking about college kids, NIL, transfer portal, all these things. I have no problem holding these college players to a higher standard than ever because they're getting paid more than ever. But at the end of the day, they're still kids who are learning how to become men. That is the process when you get on campus and you're going to play any type of sport. It doesn't matter if you're male, female, volleyball, basketball, football, golf, track, rifle. It doesn't matter. The process of going from a young man, young woman, all the way to growing up by the time you're done with college, especially if you're one of those kids that's been there 4 to 5 years. It's a maturing process. And I have no problem holding them to a higher standard, like I said, because they're making more than they've ever made. But at the end of the day, they're still kids. And these are factors that play in to a degree. Real quick, as always, you can check out the Carriker Chronicles on YouTube, CarrickerChronicles.com as well. All things 93.7, The Ticket at theticketfm.com. All right, let's take a look back at Nebraska versus Purdue. More than doubled them in first downs. The Huskers had 25. The Boilermakers had 12. Third downs. This is the one area where they vastly outplayed us. All right. Third down efficiency. Nebraska only converted one third down on the entire day. Happened to be for a touchdown to Jamal Banks from Dylan Raiola, which gave us the lead 7-3. We were 1 of 8 on third downs for the day. Purdue is actually 7 of 15. All right. So we got to get better defensively at getting other teams off the field. This is something that's plagued us really since Northern Iowa. Just couldn't get off the field. That was really the only thing that Purdue kind of was able to do to a degree. It's why the time of possession was basically half and half, 50-50. Otherwise, this isn't even close at all at any point in the game. But they were 7-15 on third downs. Total yards, we had 419. They had 224. They really only got over 200 yards in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, their touchdown drive that they had, the Purdue Boilermakers. Passing, we had 257. They had 174. All right. We're averaging 270 pass yards a game, which is 45th in the country. We're averaging 145 rush yards a game, which is 88th in the country. All right. And the Black Shirts have 16 sacks on the season, which is tied for 8th in America as well. With the rushing yards, it's a bit skewed. And I do. I talk about this on the Chronicles that'll go out on Tuesday. Our running backs, our four running backs combined, actually only had 84 rushing yards. All right. We had 161 on the day. Ja'Cory Barney had 66 of those. He had 39%. Basically, 40% of our rushing yards came from a wide receiver on sweeps. He had 4 carries, 66 yards, the long rushing touchdown, or long rush of the day, which was 31 yards and a touchdown. We can't be relying on a receiver and sweep plays to be our leading rusher and getting 40% of our rush yards. Our four running backs combined had 84 yards rushing and averaged 3.5 yards per carry. Now, is that on the running backs? Not to a degree, I guess. The offensive line is not as physical this year as they were last year. Okay, a couple of years ago, we weren't very physical in the run game at all. Last year, Donovan Raiola's first year as the offensive line coach. Last year, we couldn't throw the ball. But we were the number two rushing team in the entire Big Ten Conference because we were physical at run blocking. Our quarterbacks didn't really have anybody to throw to, and they didn't have a whole lot of time because our offensive line didn't pass block very well, and our pass game was non-existent a year ago. The offensive line is much improved in pass protection. We haven't played any elite pass rushers yet, but so far it's been much improved. But the run blocking has taken a noticeable step backwards. It's hard to be good at everything. Steph Curry, great three-point shooter. Not so great down in the paint. His size has something to do with that. Not known for his defense. You look at some of the other guys. There aren't many guys who are well-rounded, whether you like LeBron James or not, who are as well-rounded as he is. There aren't many guys who are physical freaks like him either. You look back through the years. Karl Malone, MVP of the league. Great down low power forward. Not known for a defense, for his defense. Mostly offensive player. Okay, it's hard to be well-rounded. But what you can't have is one area go up and the other area drops significantly. Our pass protection has gone up. We've also got wide receivers who are getting open sooner. We have a trigger man back there who's much better at getting rid of the ball, making proper reads quickly as well. So that helps the offensive line. And when we face some better pass rushers as the season goes along, we'll learn more about them pass protection-wise. But what stood out to me is we are not as physical up front. There is no excuse not to run the ball against Purdue. They were 131st in the country out of 133 teams when it came to rush defense coming into Saturday. And we struggled to run the ball between the tackles. We've got to get better at that. Again, year one under Donovan Raiola, we didn't run the ball well as the offensive line coach. Year two, Matt Rhule's first year as the head coach. But year two under Donovan Raiola, we ran the ball much better. Pass protection was atrocious. This year, pass protection is better, but we've taken a step back in being physical at the point of attack, to the point where we had to rely on a receiver to be our leading rusher last Saturday. And yes, it's been talked about a ton. Emmett Johnson should be our starting running back. He wasn't even part of the 1-2. Right? It was Dante Dowdell and Ramir Johnson. And I just finished chatting about it with Vershawn and T. Farley at the end of their show. Emmett is our best all-around back. A year ago, he only gets to play because our top three backs get hurt. He was number four on the depth chart. He was a freshman, stepped in, and he was really our best running back the whole season, regardless of injuries. Now he's come in, and he's done it again this year. Not as blatantly obvious because he hasn't gotten as many carries. We've had games where he hasn't gotten a single carry, which is just crazy to me. He's our most well-rounded back. And when you can't look at a player and be like, well, this guy's really good at that, it's really easy to overlook somebody. All right. Frankly, Dante's a good player, Dowdell. But I haven't really understood the whole year why he's gotten the majority of the carries. Going into our last game, he had 51 carries by himself, and our other three running backs combined at 50. I didn't really understand it. I'm like, oh, the coaches are seeing something that I'm not seeing. He's going to have a breakout game. And to be clear, he's a good player. I'm not bashing him in any way, shape, or form. But I wasn't buying into the aspect that he was clearly our number one back. Like, he was so much better that he deserved more carries than everybody else combined. I didn't buy into that. I also couldn't understand why Emmett wasn't getting more carries. Emmett Johnson is not by far and away our best running back. It's not by far and away. It's not leaps and bounds. But all year, I've kind of been waiting to see what Dante could do. Otherwise, why is he getting all these carries? And when's Emmett going to get more carries? Those were the two things I kept watching for. And I always felt like Ramir has never really gotten a true shot since he's gotten here. I think he started versus Rutgers like 18 years ago, because that's how long players play in college football now. But he had like one start at Rutgers in Piscataway. I want to say it was 2020, the COVID season. And he played really well. It's not that these guys don't have ability. Part of it is it's hard to get into the rhythm of a game if you're only getting a sporadic amount of carries. You look at the carries from our last game. Emmett had 8. Dante had 9. All right, Ramir had 5. Gabe Irvin had 1, which was a 4-yard, not a 4-yard touchdown run. I thought he had a touchdown. Guess not. But I'm like, how do you get into the rhythm of a game? How do you get warmed up? How do you get lathered up? Like, yes, it's great to have a rotation. It's great to keep guys fresh. As a D lineman, I understand that. No position on the entire team rotates as much as defensive line. The only other position that even kind of sort of somewhat comes close is running back at times. And it depends on your team. It depends on who the running backs are. But if I'm playing like 5-10 snaps a game, or in this case, I'm getting 8 carries, 9 carries, 5 carries, 1 carry, how in the world am I supposed to get into the rhythm of the game? How am I supposed to stay lathered up? I'm spending my entire time just trying not to get cold and stay loose on the sidelines, so to speak. I think it's time that Emmett Johnson is our starting running back. Dante Dowdell should be number 2, short yardage goal line. If you want to use Ramir as a third down back, that's fine. I don't think it's necessary. And again, I talk about this elsewhere, but I would love to see Ramir and Ja'Cory Barney as our two returners. That's what I'd like to see. I don't know if Jalen Lloyd struggles to catch punts. Punts do funny things in the air. They're much more challenging to catch than a kickoff. But I'd like to see Jalen Lloyd with his speed back there as well. Those should be our three returners. We're averaging 5 yards per punt return right now. That is not acceptable. That is not good. There's a lot of things on special teams that aren't great. And I know I've come out a little bit harsh. Nebraska wins, by the way. Okay. They win the game 28-10. And it's one of those things where we're 4-1. You look at our record over the past few years after 5 games. We're talking 2-3, 2-3, 1-4. All right, so we're in as good a spot as we've been after 5 games for about half a decade. Nebraska plays an ugly game and wins by 18 points. When's the last time you could say that? So there's a lot of positives to be taken from this. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer or uber negative. For me, I think I'm projecting forward, which you don't normally do on a Monday, but I'm projecting towards Rutgers. It's going to be a close game. I'm projecting towards Indiana after the bye week. This is a team that scored 42, 52, 72, and 42 points in their last 4 games. They're an explosive team. Now, have they played anybody? No, not really. They did drop 42 in Pasadena on UCLA, and we just got done talking about how challenging UCLA's schedule is. I still don't think UCLA is going to be good. Nobody's going to be a pushover that we're going to play the rest of the year. Certainly not Rutgers, certainly not Indiana. Not even UCLA, which may be seen as the weakest team out of our last 7 opponents. Nobody's going to be a pushover. Welcome to the Big Ten, the new Big Ten especially. For me, we found a way to win. We played ugly and we won by 18 points and easily covered the spread on the road. And sometimes early morning games can be a problem. I'm not a morning person. I'm not. I'm that person that 6 o'clock rolls around, I'm tired, 10 o'clock rolls around, and I've got my second win, and I don't want to go to bed till 2 a.m. I've been that way since college. I really don't like to get up before 10. I've got 6 kids, though. I ain't making it past 6:30, so I've gotten used to that. But I'm not a morning person. My dad would tell me, if it's a morning game, Adam, I know it's going to take you a while to wake up. If it's an afternoon, evening game, you're going to come out, roar, and play one. I get that. I relate to all of that. I understand all that. I'm glad we woke up the last 20 minutes of the game, and we showed what we're capable of. Right, let me put a button on a couple of thoughts here. We won the turnover battle again. Nebraska points off turnovers this year, 31. Our opponents, zero. Could you imagine that last year? How much of an impact and a difference would that have made last year? So Nebraska's doing a lot of good things. We've improved in a lot of areas. I think for me, what I see is our quarterback play needed to improve this year. It's better. Our turnover margin needed to improve this year. It's better. Our pass protection, oh my God, it needed to improve this year. It's better. But our run blocking has suffered in its case. Our defense played better versus Purdue, but has not been consistent the way it was the year before. Our tackling isn't as effective as it was the year before. So in areas where we could have just stayed the same, not even gotten better, and just improved in our areas of perceived quote-unquote weakness, and well, first of all, we'd be 5-0 right now. But Illinois, actually, I know they lost by 2 scores to Penn State, but they went in and played well. That was a competitive game until late in the game. That actually raised Illinois. I know they lost 21-7. That actually raised Illinois stock in my mind. Penn State got a really late touchdown. Otherwise, it was 14-7. It was 7-7 at halftime. Illinois is a good football team. And we should have won that game. Just imagine had we stayed the equivalent to in a lot of the areas that I pointed out that we've gone a little bit backwards in so far this year. We can get back to where we were last year at some point this year, hopefully sooner rather than later. But imagine had we just stayed the equivalent to in the run game. Had we just stayed equivalent to on defense. Had we just, and again, the black shirts, they stepped up and played well Saturday. They needed, thank God they did, because we needed them in this particular game. And then we just improved quarterback play, just improved the pass protection, took care of the ball better. Like, the floor and the ceiling of this Nebraska team is exciting and terrifying all at once if you're a Husker fan. We showed all in one game why some people thought before the season we'd win 8 games, 9 games. I didn't hear a lot of people with, you know, reasonable thoughts saying 10 or more, but 8 or 9. And then you see why some people are like, I don't know if we're going to make a bowl game. All in the same freaking game. You saw it all in the same game versus Purdue. We have the talent and the potential to play with everybody on the rest of our schedule. You heard me right. To play with and be competitive with everybody on our schedule. There's been years where we went up to Columbus and lost by 5 points. And we weren't as good as we are this year. Our final record won't be as good as it is this year. I'm not saying we're going to do that because I don't know what to make of this team. That's the crazy part. I don't know what the ceiling is. I don't know what the floor is. Well, the ceiling is like 9 or 10 wins, 8 wins. The floor is hopefully 6-6. Again, Matt Rhule stood across from me, looked at me at Big Ten Media Day, said, if we don't go to a bowl game, we got real problems. I'd agree with that. Somewhere between 6-6, 9-3. That's the floor. That's the ceiling. As you look at Nebraska up until now, as you look at our opponents that are remaining on the schedule, our next 3 opponents are a combined 12-0. None of them have played anybody, including Ohio State. So we're going to learn more about the Huskers and these next 3 opponents, Rutgers from Piscataway, Indiana, Bloomington, Ohio State, Columbus. They're all going to learn, especially our next 2 opponents, Rutgers and Indiana. They're going to learn a lot more about themselves when they play us. It's going to be an interesting, especially the next 2 games, 2 weeks of football for Nebraska. The ceiling, I mean, how do you play that bad and win by 18 points when you sleepwalk through the first 40 minutes of the game on the road? Yeah, we could win 9 games. Oh, look at the first 40 minutes, Adam. Oh, my God. I don't know. Yeah, we could be 6-6. I mean, that's crazy to me that that's the floor and that's the ceiling, and we're 5 games in. Normally, you say things like that in June and July when you haven't seen a single snap. This team is exciting and terrifying to watch, and I'm here for all of it, by the way. But they're exciting and terrifying to watch all at the same time. I don't know what to make of this team. It's fun, and it's terrifying all at the same time. I don't know what else to say about that. A couple of final thoughts, and we're going to go to break. When we come back from break, we're going to react to Matt Rhule's press conference and or, depending on the order, depending if Rhule is done talking with his press conference or not, we're going to react to some of the top college football games from this past weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, Colorado's 4-1. I won't point out who the one is in that 4-1, but Colorado's 4-1 right now. Georgia-Bama. Man, that was a great game. Part of me wanted them both to lose, but knowing that's not possible, it was just a great game. The game of the year so far. All right, final thoughts. Nebraska, Purdue. The black shirts played a lot better. The black shirts are the unit where there's the least amount of question marks because there's the most amount of experience. There's the most amount of tenure. There's the most amount of upperclassmen starters. I mean, you look at this team as a whole, though. Our offensive line, I know Micah is gone. I know Turner's hurt. But Letovsky has started a bunch of games. So other than Gunnar Gatula, we got a bunch of upperclassmen who've started roughly 8 million games. Our two starting wide receivers are both seniors. Jamal Banks, Isaiah Nayor, Thomas Fedoni, Nate Berkshire, both started multiple games in their career here at Nebraska. A bunch of games between them. Our most inexperienced guy is the one guy we can count on the most right now, and that's true freshman Dylan Raiola. We have a bunch of running backs with a bunch of experience. Emmett started a bunch of games. Emmett's been here for roughly 84 years, like I mentioned earlier. All right, Gabe Irvin, even though he's not playing a bunch, he is still the first true freshman in the history of Nebraska football. Think about all the great running backs to come through Husker football. The first true freshman in the history of Nebraska football to start his first game at running back. Dante Dowdell is a highly thought of guy as well. He's probably the least experienced out of all the backs. And he's the guy I've been getting most of the carries up until Saturday. And our defense is littered with juniors and seniors and returning guys. So to me, it's kind of crazy that there's so much unpredictability with such a veteran team. I'm not even knocking them for it. I'm just making an observation. It's interesting to me. Of all those guys that we can count on the most is the teenager. That's crazy to me. Again, that's not bad. That's not good. That's just my observation. It is what it is, as my former teammate used to say, Greg Austin. He said that all the time, by the way. It is what it is. Well, you're right. Nebraska finds a way to win on the road. We're at 4-1, the best record we've had after five games in the past half a decade. We're going to learn a lot more about this team this weekend versus Rutgers. We got a bye week, which I like very much, before we head to Bloomington to take on Indiana. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Adam Carriker Show, the show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.